The title of this message is The Greatest Gift, John 3:16. I thank everyone for coming out tonight and wish you a Merry Christmas. Thank you for coming. I know you're often out here. I was out there as well. It is good to be here together as brothers and sisters in Christ. I really enjoyed many taking part here. This is like the body of Christ, the church, with us participating and serving amongst one another. It was great. Christmas Eve, a time to think of the best gift one can give. When Jesus was teaching on prayer, he said, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask?" I became aware of the hunt by parents to get their child the best toy in the year of the Furby. I know I'm dating myself, and some of you may not know what this toy is. Furbies originally retailed for about $35 US. They sold very well. It was Christmas 1998 when the parent craze drove the resale price of the furry programmable creatures to over $100. And some as high as several hundred dollars. Of course, the Furbies were followed by Pokemon and Tickle Me Elmo and etc. As a norm, we as parents have this drive within us to give our kids the gift. The only problem is the use of the gift is short-lived or forgotten at the bottom of the toy pile, or it's often underappreciated. With this theme in mind of gift-giving, let us look at John 3:16. Now this verse will most likely seem very familiar to you. It is probably the most mentioned verse of the Bible in our world. Let us read John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Let us commit this time to the Lord. Father God, I give you thanks and praise for your goodness to us, Father. As we gather in smaller number tonight, we think of the saints who are not here. God, we pray that you may comfort and strengthen them by the power of the Spirit of truth that is in them. God, as we gather around together to hear your word, God, we want to hear from you during this message. God, I pray that you would bless the hearing of your word, and that you may be heard throughout this message. I pray in Christ our Lord's name. Amen. As we think of earthly gifts, we will draw out of this passage how God has given us the greatest gift. If you already possess this gift, I know that you will delight in this message, as when God first led you through the process of receiving this gift, you may truly hear about the greatest gift given, because it could be yours also. My plan is to unpack this gift so that the youngest among us may understand the gift. Whether you know it or not, the gift I'm sharing with you is the one gift your heart has been longing for. As you will begin to see the gift, I encourage you to receive it and delight in it. As we go through John 3:16, we'll go through in five parts: the reason for the gift, the recipients of the gift, the revelation of the gift, the receivers of the gift, and the result of the gift. The first point is the reason for the gift. And the first part of our verse is, "For God so loved." Tonight, I will be using a couple of wrapped gifts as visuals for us. This gift beside me here will be the primary gift in focus. This thread holds the gift of God together and represents God's love for us. God is by nature love, and it's natural for him to love. God exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Father loves the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Son loves the Father and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loves the Father and the Son. God's love overflows out of who he is. It was out of the love of God that he created the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. By God the Son, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. God saw everything he made, and behold, it was very good. The creation of man is seen as the highest point of God's creation, as man was created in the image of God. In God's perfect love and creative design, Adam and Eve were able to love each other and God perfectly in the Garden of Eden. Man was created with a free will. As Andrew recited in Genesis 3 earlier, we heard, it is out of that free will that Adam, the first man, rejected the love of God. And rejecting God as his father, Adam came under the dominion of Satan, who became his spiritual father, and consequently, all mankind as well. The truth of God was exchanged for a lie, and sin entered the world. Be prepared tonight to hear the bad news of our state of being, but also the good news of how God himself sovereignly deals with the bad news. God's nature is to love, and his nature is unaffected by man's exercise of free will. God maintains his holy and glorious attributes. In his sovereign righteousness, God judges and curses Satan, Eve, and Adam, as was read in Genesis 3. Sin entered the world through the first man, Adam, and death through sin. And death spread to all men because all sin. Today we know all die, and the reason is we all sin. Mankind, the world, is cursed and lost in our sin. We are slaves to sin. Man has been separated from God's love, unable to love God as he deserves, and sin now rules in his heart. Satan is now the father of the world of all human beings. All is not lost for the world. God's steadfast love is on display in the judgment of Satan, which was also read in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He, Jesus, the Son of God, shall bruise your head, and you, Satan, shall bruise his heel. Jesus is declared here to crush the head of Satan. The death blow by Jesus will abolish Satan eternally. This is the first mention of the gospel, the good news message. God will act in his love. As we go through this message, remember the thread. It represents the love of God, which holds the gift he has for us together. It was God's wisdom and love that forged the gift, as described in Ephesians 1. The gift was made by God according to the purpose of God, who works all things to the counsel of his will. The gift was God's plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on the earth. The mystery of his will has now been revealed to us. If we don't hold the thread of God's love in our hearts, we are not able to offer God's gift. Satan has brought forth many convincing forgeries of God's gift through various religions and anything else that's been created by God. Satan would have us worship anything but God himself. We as Christians can sometimes forget about God's heavenly love, and we're tempted or deceived to forget to hold the love of God. And we unfortunately replace God's love with a man-made love, which is a non-saving love, a very devastating thing with soul-damning results. Well, let's look at the recipients of the gift, and that's the next part of our verse. For God so loved the world. As we continue to use this visual, we see the gift is wrapped in plain packing paper. Because this is how God appears to us at first. It is with fallen, sinful hearts that every one of us come to God. And it's also plain because God sent his Son into the world in the most humble way. And so to the world, the gift seems very plain. What is the world? Every person born through Adam is part of the world, humanity. Because of the fall, throughout time, man is seen in a sinful state. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The world has separated from God's love, and now Satan is our father. We read this in the flood account. God, according to his will and plan, judged the world with a flood. Because of the continued hatred humans had towards both God and man. Genesis 6:5-8. The Lord saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I've created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things, and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. God actually used these verses to show me my total depravity in the day I was born again. The love of the Creator is not seen in the heart of man unless God intervenes. Later on in Genesis, we read, God places his love on Abraham and his offspring. God loves this particular chosen group of people and redeems them from slavery as a means to pour out his love on his people. And yet, not all descended from Israel truly belongs to Israel. And we see the evidence of that fact throughout the Old Testament. Many of the Israelites did not have the love of God in them. The work God does through Israel foreshadows how God will pour out his steadfast love through his Son, Jesus Christ, on a particular people. In love, God gives his people Israel the law through Moses. God gave the law to show fallen sinners, the world, how to act in love toward God and each other. However, no human can fulfill the law. Left to ourselves, the love of God is not found in us. Therefore, we cannot obey the law. That is why God sent his Son into the world. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass away from the law until all is accomplished." Peter says in 1 Peter 2:2, "He, Jesus, committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth." Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God loves the world because it is in his nature to love. Apart from God, the work of our minds and hearts, we will not see or understand the love of God. Fallen man in his fallen state does not know who God is. For his purposes, God has taken action to save man from their lost, sinful state, which leads to our next stage of gift unpacking. The revelation of the gift. So, and we also have the next part of our verse. So we have, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." There is only one gift God has revealed because there is only one. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. Jesus is the greatest gift that we sell. That is why we celebrate Christmas together. The Bible is the only spoken revelation of God's love for us. We have to read the Bible to understand God's love for us and how we're to act and serve in love. We find out about the greatest gift in a visually plain book. And yet, there is infinitely more to the Bible than meets the eye, for it describes Jesus, who is the way to the Father. For the Bible is the Word of God. It is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. All the Bible has been breathed out by God, the Holy Spirit, through man. So physically, the Bible looks plain. But when we read it with the help of the Holy Spirit, our helper, he helps us understand it and it comes to life. Although man, with the help of Satan, seeks to forge a new version of the gift, there's always been only one way and one gift. The shiny gifts around the tree represent this type of thinking. Those gifts are empty inside, by the way, like every man-made idol. As we have established, God's love is not present in fallen man. So God's love comes down from heaven through the Son. As was read earlier, John 1, 1 to 3 and 14, in the beginning was the Word. This is Jesus. And the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus, the Son of God, was sent to earth to declare the Word of God. The Word of God is only found in the Bible. An important part of God's love is shown in Jesus' humble entrance on earth. God is not partial. We see this in the particular way the Father sent the Son. From our scripture reading in Luke 2 tonight, Jesus, the Son of God, was not born in a king's palace, but in some undisclosed location in Bethlehem, where he was laid in an animal trough to sleep in. Jesus is physically born into the line of his chosen people Israel, yet the people of Israel reject the love of God in Christ Jesus. The response of God's chosen people Israel saddens God, but it does not change God, for God is unchangeable. In love, Jesus, the Son of God, is offered by God as a sacrifice, as the means to save all who believe in the saving work of Jesus. Those whom God chose before the creation of the world, he would place his love in. God, the Holy Spirit, works the regenerating work in those who believe. The nature of God is love, and it's also to save. God has provided a way for sinful men to be saved in the giving of the greatest gift, his Son. And reading the Bible is the means of knowing Jesus. As we look now at the next part, which is the receivers of the gift, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes. Belief in the gift causes the splendor of the gift to begin to shine forth. Joy and delight fill the believer's heart as new life begins. What is belief? Jesus says, when you hear of the gift, the gospel, you will seek it with all your might to obtain it. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells the parable of the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys the field. The parable right after that, Jesus tells, is the pearl of great value. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one great pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it. Those who believe receive the gift of the Son of God. God's love poured out and overflowing through the Son of God into the hearts of believers. Who receives the gift? God's invitation goes out to every sinner in the world. The offer of the saving work is available to every human being. Our need is great. We have a fallen nature. Sin rules our hearts. We do not have the love of God in us. We are not able to love God. And we read this in Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. This is the bad news. Man's state apart from God is dead. We are spiritually dead to God. Satan is who we follow, along with our own sinful desires in our hearts and Satan's influencing of the world around us. Here is the good news. Receive the bad news because the good news follows. Ephesians 2, 4 to 10 that follows. These words reveal the gift of God fulfilled with his love on full display. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Why does God save us? So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it's a gift of God. How are we saved? Through the gift of God, his love gift of faith in his Son, not a result of works, so no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you see, beloved, the love of God comes from outside of you. Apart from God giving you the greatest gift and you receiving the gift, God's love will remain outside of you. No one is able to love God without the help of God. The evidence of God's miraculous work today is on display. God takes sinners, dead in their sins, hellbound sinners, and saves them through his loving work he has accomplished through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you've heard something of what I said from God's word, believe it. Seek to believe in the saving work Jesus did for you on the cross, where he died for the sins of all who believe in his saving work. Jesus saves all who believe in him. God enters you in order for you to begin believing in the saving work of Jesus. God, living in you, gives you the ability to love God and others with his love. God, living in you, gives you the knowledge of his will and makes you like him. And finally, the result of the gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, for the believer in Jesus Christ, the one who surrendered his life over to Jesus as Lord and Savior, the once plain-looking book, the Bible, compels him to see Jesus as a shining diamond-like jewel with so many cuts in the diamond to observe. Jesus is so precious to behold. And yet, when you go forth with the greatest gift, it appears plain at first to unbelievers, and it remains plain and easy to pass off to all who do not believe. Accepting or rejecting God's love gift has eternal consequences. To perish means to reject God's love, which leads to being judged in your sinful state. If one does not confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior in their heart, the love of God remains outside of you. You've rejected God's offer of salvation, therefore you will be sent to hell. Hell is the just punishment for all who willfully reject the love of God. Jesus, the Son of God, is the one who taught us what hell is like. Jesus' teaching of hell is clear, that it's a place of continual torture and suffering forever for all unrepentant sinners. All-powerful and eternal Jesus, the Son of God, made the payment of hell on the cross for the sins of all who believe in him. However, anyone who does not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior over their life, that person remains in their sins. Hell is the place for making payment for your sins against God, and yet you will never be able to make the payment in full, because you will keep on doing what is natural to you and sin and curse God in hell. Hell is where unbelievers receive eternal punishment because they've rejected the love of God offered to him by the merit of his Son, Jesus. This sounds horrible, and it's even more than I'm able to describe. And I don't want that to happen to anyone. I don't want your sin to remain in you. God's desire is for all to repent and turn to Jesus and become his adopted children and brought into his kingdom. I want everyone in the hearing of my voice to repent and turn from your sins and ask God to forgive all your sins and receive God's love and Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior over your life. Receive God's love for you. Do not harden your heart. God has drawn near to you this night, showing you his love in his Son. Jesus is the only way to receive the love of God in your heart. Rejoice in God, and in his love he has provided a way for you to love him and be with him forever in heaven. There is not another way to eternal life in heaven but through the Son of God. So many other gifts will be presented to you. If received by you, they will only give you momentary happiness, as they are not the gift of God's love, which satisfies the believer forever. Other gifts offered to you will keep you in your sins. Without the love of God in you, the love of God does not start inside you on your own, but God the Holy Spirit brings the love of God to you and everyone who believes. God has to give you his love, which comes from outside of you. The greatest gift given lasts forever. Receive the gift of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior over your life. To conclude, the reason for the gift is God's love. The recipients of the gift, God continues to love all the way to the very end. God loves the world. The revelation of the gift, God sent his Son. The receivers of the gift, God will lead you in belief of the Son. Believe. The result of the gift, God has provided a way out of your sin in hell. Take God's way out and be in heaven forever with God and the saints. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Praise God for the gift of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever given.